Good evening, and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington.
And I'm Lucy Pony, also in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, March 5th, 2015. As the final hours wind down, here is the latest from Addis Ababa.
Leading a war is easy, but to be a peace hero is very difficult. They must come out and be heroes of peace.
And the chief IGAD mediator says leading a war is easy compared to achieving lasting peace.
Have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The deadline for South Sudan's warring parties to reach a peace accord is less than 5 hours away. IGAD mediators have left the talks without speaking to the press. We'll have the latest from Addis Ababa, but first, hundreds of government supporters, mostly youth, rallied today in Juba. The demonstrators chanted, "One army, not two armies, one people, not two people," and they marched from the John Garang Mausoleum to the parliament with a petition opposing any agreement that calls for two armies. The rally was organized by two youth groups. Ajang Ajang Lino is from South Sudan Youth for Peace and Reconciliation.
Unless the world wants to put South Sudan back to war 1 month after signing a peace agreement, they should never encourage the idea of two armies.
That's Ajang Ajang Lino from South Sudan Youth for Peace speaking at a rally today in Juba.
With the midnight deadline fast approaching for President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar to reach a final peace deal, there is still little or no progress being reported out of Addis Ababa. In fact, we have word out of the Ethiopian capital at this moment that there will be no peace deal signed tonight or tomorrow, according to one of the mediators. John Tanza is at the talks in Addis and joins us now. John, first of all, John, thanks for joining us. And what are you hearing as of this moment?
Well, I just wanted to correct the notion that the mediators did not speak to the press and left the venue. The chief mediator, Ambassador Seyoum Mesfin, briefed the press and told the journalists around that the two parties could not agree on the outstanding issues that they have been, disagreeing on for 2 weeks. And he told the press that he hopes that they will agree tomorrow and hopefully a deal will be signed. So when he was asked, is this the end of the talks? He said, no, mediation does not end in a day. It's a continuous process. And IGAD is not letting off the two parties to go back and resume what they are good at doing.
Okay, well, we've heard criticism that too much time has been wasted on talking about a power-sharing deal and reintegrating the two armies into one, and not enough time on the real problems facing South Sudan because of this devastating crisis that continues. How do the two sides react to that criticism, John?
Well, the two sides are saying that both that outsiders don't know the issues in South Sudan, and most of them want a quick fix. And most of the delegates from the two parties are saying the issues that they have been disagreeing on are the issues that led to this violence in South Sudan. Yes, indeed, there are people who are saying too much time has been wasted on who wants which position and who wants to be appointed where. But the two delegates are saying addressing the issues of governance will bring an everlasting peace in South Sudan.
Right, but if the both sides are not budging from their points of their frame of mind on governance, how is a peace deal going to be reached?
Well, the two sides, if you speak to the rebels, they will tell you they are serious about finding an everlasting solution to this problem. And the government also will tell you that they are serious in finding an everlasting solution to this problem. And so they do not want to be told that they are wasting time.
Mm-hmm. Considering that, we only have a few hours left, what is, the general mood there right now?
Well, there's nobody at the venue of the talks right now here. You can only see a battery of journalists, each one glued to their laptop or computers trying to file their stories back to their stations. But the rebel group, the delegation from the rebel group are just walking out from their briefing. I can see them walking in a group. Dr. Riek Machar is surrounded by like 20 men, and they're walking out of the venue. I don't know what they agreed on, but you can see the body language that nobody is happy.
Does that mean then that possibly outside governments will, like the UN, take over mediating these talks to possibly hammer out a short-term deal?
Ambassador Sayoum Mesin was asked that question, and he told reporters that the IGAD mediation process has not ended. IGAD will seek assistance from other international actors to continue with this. But one important point he said was that he hopes the two parties will tomorrow agree on their outstanding differences and hopefully sign a peace deal.
Okay, John. Well, we understand that you do have a South Sudanese civil society activist there with you at the talks who's been waiting for this day, like many others, and hoping for the best. Would you like to put him on the phone with us right now to talk?
Yes. In fact, I have Emmanuel Paul Quet, who is a civil society activist in Juba, and then I have Rita Lona Merekaje, who is with the civil society also. They are both standing by here. I'll hand you over to Emmanuel.
Great, John. Thank you. I'll speak to Emmanuel first, Mr. Queth. Thanks for joining us, first of all. What are you feeling today? Yes. How optimistic are you that a final deal that is actually good for the country is going to be reached tomorrow, on the next day, or sometime soon?
First of all, thanks for being with the BOA. I'm really disappointed today by the way the two principals are handling the process. Disagree on all areas that's supposed to have an positive input, and we hope maybe tomorrow they can come back together and file whatever they have in their briefcase. Could help the process.
It sounds so I can hear it in your voice, and it just sounds so very disappointed. Everybody must look very disappointed today, right?
Yeah. Everyone is disappointed. Even people back home are disappointed.
And
the leader, two principals are not shown to the people that they're responsible and leaders.
And can I speak a little bit with the leader there, your partner there with the civil society activism? Alita, are you on the line? Hello?
Carol, are you there?
Yes. Is Alita ready to talk to us, John? Is she standing by?
Yes, I have Merekaje Lona Njie. She's a leader of a civil society in Juba. She's been here for the last 3 days, and she looks very disappointed as well.
I'm sure. Let us hear from you, and tell us your feelings right now at the moment.
Hello, Carol. My name is Merekaje Lona. I must say that at the moment, as a representative of civil society from South Sudan and fitting myself in the shoes of my brothers and sisters from South Sudan, it is a very disappointing moment because we expected so much and we expected at least the principals to reach a deal before the deadline of 5th. But unfortunately, right now it's in the evening and there's nothing forthcoming. So I can't say much. I must say that it's very disappointing for the people of South Sudan.
And your name is Lenka, right? May I call you Lenka?
You're saying?
I was going to ask you one more question, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Is it Lenka?
It's okay. Okay. Merekaje Lona.
Merekaje Lona.
Merekaje Lona.
Merekaje Lona.
Yes.
Thank you. What, yes. Merekaje, is your greatest fear if a deal is not reached soon for the people of South Sudan?
Well, what the people of South Sudan need is peace. But again, we also have to underscore that the peace we need is a legitimate peace and a lasting peace, because we have been through a lot. At a time like now, we don't need anything that is short-lived, but we need a sustainable peace. And the negotiation teams have been negotiating. Therefore, we have the outstanding issues that were beyond their capacity to handle. These have been referred to the principals. Now that the principals are here, our hopes are very high that they are going to come with a solution. And we expect them to resolve the outstanding issues as leaders of that country.
Thank you so much for your input on where the talks are, where they might be going. And pardon me if I pronounce your name wrong, but I believe it's Lenka Deluna. Thank you for joining us. And Emmanuel Paul Queth for giving us some of your insight today.
Thank you. Talk to Tava.
Okay.
Carol.
Yes. John.
Yeah, I think I will just wrap it up by saying that the mood here is really, really, really very sad. Everybody is walking with their heads bowed down. And it looks like South Sudanese are not happy, but it's not the end of the story. I'll take it back to you.
Okay. It just sounds very, very quiet there, too, by the way, John. Sounds like a ghost town.
Yes, everybody has left the venue. I'm just here with two, three, another journalists who are filing their stories. But it looks like this is the end of the story for today.
Thanks, John. That's John Tanza, South Sudan In Focus co-host, from speaking to us live from Addis Ababa.
President Kiir and Machar suspended their face-to-face talks in Addis Ababa last night. Rebel spokesman Port Kang Chol says the face-to-face talks stalled over a laundry list of disagreements.
They rejected the security arrangement by saying, you just come back and you will be reintegrated. They rejected the report of the African Commission report of inquiry. They rejected it. They rejected the formula of world sharing, saying there is no need to share that, and the world should be concentrated at the national level. They rejected the issue of the debt because we requested them to declare their debt, because our belief is that once we form the government of national unity, it's a government that will belong to all of us. It will be our government, and we will all be obliged to pay the debt. They also went as far as saying, we reject the reconstitution of the government by even defining the government to mean the executive only.
On that last point, Port says the opposition, led by Machar, wants all three pillars of the government, the executive, the judiciary and the legislature, to be reconstituted based on power-sharing ratios agreed to at the talks in Addis Ababa. Ambassador Seyoum Mesfin has been the lead mediator for Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, at the South Sudan talks for more than a year. He says that after months of broken promises and breached ceasefire agreements, IGAD is almost running out of patience.
It is frustrating. Here are the leaders, the two leaders. If at all there are two individuals in South Sudan who should be asked to be of courage and determination and political will to end this crisis, it is these two leaders. They may not be the alone, but they must be the leaders and lead towards peace. Leading a war is easy, but to be a peace hero is very difficult. They must come out and be heroes of peace.
Seyoum has called this round of talks South Sudan's last chance for peace. But he says IGAD will not throw in the towel on South Sudan, even if Kiir and Machar cannot reach a deal.
By saying this may be the last session of IGAD does not mean that IGAD is abandoning South Sudan to itself, but the format may completely change. Yes, IGAD will still remain at the driver's seat, but definitely there would be other actors who would reinforce this process.
The African Union and the United Nations would be among the other actors that IGAD would turn to for help in ending the crisis in South Sudan, Seyoum says. 2 days ago, the United Nations Security Council voted unanimously to set up a framework that would allow them to freeze the assets of officials seen to be standing in the way of peace in South Sudan and bar them from traveling to certain countries. Seyoum says the UN is using the threat of sanctions to get the peace talks moving.
They are waving their stick. If the parties fail to break this cycle of violence and end the crisis by agreeing to end this crisis, definitely it is not only the United Nations, but the whole world would support it.
Seyoum says the international community might force a deal on the warring sides.
Yes, it is advisable for peace to be agreed upon, but we cannot let people to go on killing with each other and abandon them. And the world cannot stand on the sideline and observe mass killings going on.
Gideon Mabor is representing South Sudan civil society groups at the peace talks. He says the government and rebels have been trying to run down the clock.
Both parties are playing a game of tactic role just to buy time. There is a belief by the opposition that if they will buy time, then the legitimacy of the government will run out, which is a very cheap idea. While the government is not moving extra mile to realize peace.
Michael Makwe, the spokesman for the government of South Sudan, says the talks have not completely broken down, and neither should people's hopes for peace.
I cannot up to now say that the talks have collapsed. We are still optimistic and there is high hope for peace to come to South Sudan.
The big question is, will the much-desired peace come by the deadline set by IGAD? And if it does not, what does the future hold for South Sudan?
Yesterday, South Sudanese Foreign Minister Barnaba Benjamin Mariel slammed the UN Security Council's decision to open the way to sanctions for South Sudan. Mariel said sanctions would block the peace process. The rebel side has taken entirely the opposite view on the threat of UN sanctions. The rebels welcome the Security Council's unanimous vote to open a sanctions regime for South Sudan. Rebel spokesman Ezekiel Lo Gakwuth says the threat of UN sanctions is geared toward ending the war and restoring stability to South Sudan and the region. Gakwuth says the unanimous Security Council vote on sanctions sends a clear message to all parties to the IGAD-mediated talks to fulfill their obligations to the people of South Sudan and make peace.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, more deadly clashes in the Abyei region. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you cool off on a hot day?
I like taking juice, passion fruits. Sometimes I like cocktails. I think that's my best beverage. I would cool up myself during hot days.
When the weather is hot, I would rather go and get my friends. We get to go on the beach, relax. Like you go at around 2 when, after taking lunch, you go and relax at the beach, come back at around 10, then get to sleep and organize for the next day.
So for us here, normally in the village, when it's very hot, just you go under the seat because there's no other ways. Just you be under the seat, under a big tree, then you cool yourself. Then take a glass of cold porridge or cold water.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. While the fate of South Sudan is being debated in Addis, politicians, civil society activists, and concerned citizens met in Juba earlier this week to explore one of the nation's most urgent development issues: how to improve delivery of basic services for the population at large. Nabil Biagio has more from Juba.
South Sudanese civil society activists share one universal rallying point: how corruption and mismanagement have left the vast majority of citizens without even a basic level of social support. And they believe that unless this issue is addressed, talk of peace is just hollow rhetoric. That was the upshot of a discussion organized by the UK-based think tank, the International Growth Centre, or IGC. Columbia University professor Barbara Nunberg from New York says civil services such as healthcare and education are completely inadequate because most of the government's money goes to the military or security-related functions.
If you look at the wage bill and what the composition is, it's coming largely from military or security-related employment. So, I mean, that's kind of the most crucial problem that's, you know, confronting the government at the moment. And that's in the context of a, you know, larger, longer-term problem that any developing country is facing, but especially a newly formed state, which is about building capacity in government.
Professor Nunberg's research shows that in 2014, more than 60% of South Sudan's federal budget was devoted to security spending, while only 6% was spent on education and 3% on healthcare. She says at this point, drastic measures must be taken to cut military spending, and she knows how that can be done.
Either reducing military employment or redeploying the military towards some more productive enterprise, you know, which might be reconstruction, it might be, you know, some other kind of developmental efforts.
Another major factor contributing to a lack of services in South Sudan, according to Professor Nunberg, is that the civil service sector itself is overloaded with employees who are not right for the job. That's a problem which several participants at the discussion say requires a complete overhaul of government hiring practices.
If a system is so rotten, you may need to really get to a real surgery. And that surgery is very important. In a sense, let us have this debate that these civil servants who are actually not delivered, a debate within ourselves, look, guys, you cannot do it, please exit. But get a new generation.
That's Luca Byong, director of the Department of Peace and Development at Juba University. He says fresh college graduates, including foreigners from neighboring Uganda and Kenya, should be given a chance to contribute to improving service delivery in South Sudan. Byong says the lack of services in South Sudan is rooted in problems inherited from Sudan, such as a recruitment system based on patronage rather than merit. In other words, the people who are hired have no training or experience for the job they're supposed to be doing. Add to that exorbitant military spending and you have a government that does not work. Byong says if these issues are not addressed, they will undermine any peace deal that the leaders in South Sudan are trying to achieve.
Even though you have agreement, peace, you have absence of violence, but you have this a fundamental question that is going to hold our sustaining peace or even development. If you are not careful, it's a recipe for another conflict and another war.
Helen Achiro-Lotara is undersecretary at the Ministry of Labor. She acknowledges Byong's assessment, but says her office simply did not have the tools to fix the problem.
When we took over the government, we inherited a situation whereby during the war, a lot of civil servants were just being accommodated so that they don't go to join the rebel. And when we came in, there was no way that the government of the Republic of South Sudan would just say, all of you are fired. It will not be acceptable.
Lotara says the government started reforming the civil service sector in 2008, but tackling insecurity has continued to take precedence over all else. She says the government's main priority now is to achieve peace. Only when that happens, Lotara says, will development projects such as building roads and schools and providing electricity and water to the people of South Sudan be launched and sustained. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
Officials from the disputed oil-rich area of Abyei say at least four people were killed and several others injured over the past weekend, the latest in a series of murders in that region since January. Today, the head of the Abyei Oversight Committee says the fighting between government and rebel forces has caused the international community to forget about the challenges of Abyei. For VOA, Mugume Davis Rakarinj has this report from Juba.
Abyei Oversight Committee chairperson Deng Mading Mijak says more than 30 people around Abyei have been killed by the Meselia militia since January.
On the 2nd March 2015, a large group of heavily armed Arab militia supported by SAF in Difra, which is Kej, sneak into a village called Maria Lachak, east of Abyei area, and indiscriminately launch an attack on innocent residents, killing four people. Three people are wounded, including a child of 5 years old and one elderly man.
Mading Mijak says five other people were kidnapped. He also says 30 houses were burned to the ground by the militias. Miseria nomads have grazed their cattle in the Abyei area for as long as anyone can remember. But Mading Mijak says these clashes are about much more a struggle over pasture land. He believes the Sudanese government is behind the attacks.
The real main interest motive behind all this from the National Congress Party is the issue of oil, because Abyei is rich with oil. Therefore, they see into it, they have lost the South, the majority of the oil wells were in the South. Therefore, the little oil that is remaining in Abyei land, they don't want to lose it as well.
He also says the United Nations Interim Security Force for Abyei, or UNISFA, is not doing enough to protect civilians.
They are saying we have been patrolling 100 kilometers or something, 500, something like that, patrolling by air and even by land. and they are not seeing these troops, nobody will believe this. And that is why we are squarely putting the responsibility on their shoulder, because they have been given all the equipment. And I know they have more than 270 tanks.
The Abia region is inhabited by the Ngong Dinka tribe, whose members have stronger ties with the South Sudanese people than with Sudan. In 2013, the Ngong Dinka mounted a unilateral referendum in which they overwhelmingly voted to join the South. But neither the governments of South Sudan or Sudan recognized the vote, nor did the international community. Mading Mijak fears that, with the whole world now focused on the Addis talks, the suffering of the people of Abia has been all but forgotten.
In that way now, we are thinking the alternative option of telling our people to defend themselves.
The government of South Sudan has repeatedly called on citizens to turn over their weapons and conducted several disarmament campaigns. Mijak says more than 1,400 cattle, 670 goats and sheep and other property have been looted by the Miseria since the beginning of the year. South Sudanese government officials say they were not available to comment on this story. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
South Sudan in Focus listeners can find us on the following shortwave frequencies: 11900, 13870, and 15180 kilohertz. We're also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan, or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
That's our show for this Thursday. We leave you with the song We Want Peace by South Sudanese superstar Emmanuel Jal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking for some people who's looking for peace. Maybe together we could make the war cease. Now we can send mankind to the moon, and we can reach to the bottom of the sea. That's why it really kind of baffles me that we cannot end wars and bring peace. And we cannot change the way people act, and we cannot change the way people think. So if we sit back, chill out and relax, civilization will soon be extinct. That's why I am. I'm calling on the whole wide world. Come on, people, would you help me? Let's scream and shout, cause we want peace. This song to the common people, caught in the middle of this common evil. I wish the world was a little bit better. Time to start looking at the man in the mirror. Fear is the devil's policeman. Fear make good genocide with Hitler so he can. Feel a war of genocide and hunger was weakened. Lighten up the land cause nobody was speaking. That's why I am. I'm calling on the whole wide world. Would you help me? Let's scream and shout, cause we want peace. To say the least, somebody said after Rwanda, and after Rwanda, and not far from Rwanda, who's gonna shout for the poor people living in Darfur? The world gone deaf, the world gone blind, the world busy sitting down on the behind. Nobody cared about the poor and needy. Too busy sucking up through the rich and the greedy. For every hero there's a villain. I am kidding, we gotta shout, sending out our sins. One more time, we got no more time. We gotta figure out a way that we could all combine. Like Jericho, the world comes stumbling down. The sound of voices out of cities around. You know what it's worth? Gotta put our voices to work. We gotta shake down heaven and earth. That's why I am. I'm calling on the whole wide world. Come on, people, would you help me? Let's scream and shout, cause we want peace. To say the least, come on, everybody, come on. Stand up, stand up, stand up. You want peace, and I want peace. Stand up. I want peace.
That's, of course, Emmanuel Jal with his song, We Want Peace. I'm Lucy Poney in Washington.
And I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Thanks for being here. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan Focus from the Voice of America.
Thank you.